The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, we got football tonight involving your exciting Texans, and we're here to talk about a little bit of boxing. We're in Vegas. Let's do this. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Las Vegas for the Canelo Alvarez Gennady Golovkin fight. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on.
Gennady.
Yeah. We just had back-to-back commercials with Gennady and Gennady.
Gennady.
Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master back in studio, and producer Nick out here with us in Vegas for his debut with the team. If you want to get in, well, don't bother calling because we don't take any phone calls when we're on the road, but you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. You can get us on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show. That's 713-780-3776. Wow, 401.
Sorry.
That's a record. Well, that's because they brought us those Philly spring rolls from Public House.
Yeah.
Those things were
good,
freaking
man.
Awesome.
Chipotle ketchup.
Yeah. Man, it is so good to be back in the MGM.
I'm not going to go all the way to Luxor to get that stuff, but.
Not this trip, but since they brought it to us.
Next time we're around there, I might stop in and grab those. That's pretty good.
Yeah, back in the MGM, which is, if it were up to me, I would never stay anywhere but MGM.
It's where we should be. Yeah. It's where we belong.
It is. It's
honestly
home.
Honestly, this is our home away from home.
It's home. I won't be leaving this casino again probably while I'm here. But, all right, so before we get started, four quick observations.
Number one.
This is going to be a Canelo crowd like crazy. We knew it would be.
So you think there are likely to be more Mexicans here in Las Vegas than Kazakhs?
I'm going to say it's going to be about a 100-to-1 ratio.
Okay. That's possible.
On our plane, that's the one. That's
he's
the
here.
One. But I did see, I would say our plane was 100-to-0.
Okay.
Of people coming.
Yeah, I didn't notice any Kazakhs on our plane either.
No, but lots of Canelo fans.
I like how you say Canelo fans when you really just mean Mexicans.
Yeah. Well,
you can say that.
I can?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll say
that. It's not racist to say that because he's a Mexican fighter.
He's a Mexican fighter.
He's a Mexican fighter.
And they love him in Mexico.
That's right. So it's allowed. I'll allow it.
Okay. Number two.
Number two.
I didn't realize.
The Longhorns should be number two.
Well, it should be the Longhorns, but I didn't realize Affliction shirts were still a thing.
Oh, yeah.
They're all over Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Vegas is, that's the home.
Number three. When we're here for these, they have us in a media center, and outside there's always a bunch of people standing around hoping to see somebody famous. And they're so desperate. Twice today I got asked if I was somebody famous while I was walking around.
Oh, yeah. When you, like, once you're able to walk past the security.
Yeah, and you've got your.
People assume that you're.
Yeah, because you've got a credential on.
Yeah.
I'm sure Nick's going to get asked if he's famous.
Well, you look like a professional athlete, so.
No, I do not.
That's probably why.
I look like a crumpy old man.
You look like Tom Brady on his bye week.
You mean bisexual week?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. No, I don't. I look nothing like a famous person or an attractive person or anything. Although I do kind of look like I would be semi-famous simply because I'm wearing an ESPN shirt.
You look like Marlon Brando present day.
He's dead.
I know.
No, because he's skinny now because he's a skeleton.
I know. You've lost weight.
Yeah, I'm not that skinny. I'm not skeleton skinny.
Not yet, but I mean.
I mean, I'm working on it.
In the face, I think you and Marlon Brando right now are very similar.
That's more like the Crypt Keeper.
Okay.
I'll go with Crypt Keeper.
Like there's still a little bit of flesh hanging off the bones?
Just enough.
A tad bit.
I used to be able to do a pretty good Crypt Keeper, but I'm kind of. It was pretty easy to do, right? It wasn't hard. And then finally,
Tales from the Crypt.
I used to love that show.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. And finally,
wait, that was number two or three?
That was three. That was three.
Okay.
Affliction was two. You know, people thinking you're famous because you have a credential on is three. Number four and most obvious. The way we're set up, they have shows here before us at our little workstation.
Yes.
And then those shows end, and then an hour goes by, we get set up, and everything's great.
Basically, the day's divided into two. There's another radio show has our table for the morning,
right?
And we have it in the evening.
Our table happens to be manned by the Stephen A. Smith Show.
He's famous.
He is famous.
He's a real famous.
And
if someone asked him out in the hallway if he was famous, he would have to say, yes! Yes, I am! Because that's how he talks.
Actually, he wouldn't say that because they would already know he's famous. That's a hits.
Oh, you think he's that famous that people just recognize him out of the blue?
Yeah.
They wouldn't look at him and go, is that guy? Where have I seen him?
Is that Skip Bayless?
So you think he's like a superstar?
I think he's well known.
Okay, because superstar means like nobody's got to tell you who that is.
Yeah, I won't go that far.
Okay.
Because I do think you probably somebody.
If your mom, if you showed your mom a picture of Stephen A. Smith, would she know who he was?
Well, she used to be in journalism, so she probably would.
Maybe he's a superstar then.
I don't know. I'm not
Nick,
sure.
Nick, would your mom know?
No.
Nick's mom says, I don't know if my mom would know.
Okay.
I guess she's the tiebreaker.
Stoned or not stoned?
Mom, if you are listening to the show, text me. She's probably high right now.
Yeah.
But if you're listening, Mom, she goes, my mom listens sometimes. She listens. I think she likes to smoke her doobies and listen to the show.
I think, and that's a good way to listen to this show. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
And my mom's not into that. Like, you know how I say I like the edibles? My mom's not into that. She's old school too. She likes to just burn it down.
I do too. I like that. I like getting high immediately. I don't like having to wait for it.
My mom used to smoke cigarettes, and she quit that, but she still likes the reefer. I like edibles because let's say I eat three gummies and I wait 45 minutes and I'm like, nothing's happening. I might eat one more gummy and then I'm going to be super baked in about 20 minutes, like wasted. And I kind of like that.
I'm more instant gratification.
But you like if you just smoke, you don't get like. It's not a. It doesn't get you high deep in your soul like edibles do.
Depends on what you're smoking. I will respectfully disagree with that.
Okay.
Especially if you're getting on that vape.
Yeah.
That'll get you.
What
there.
Are you hanging out with Snoop Dogg?
I'd like to.
Yeah, Willie Nelson.
I'd like to.
You think Willie Nelson's got like sticks and stems, or you think he splurges?
Oh, I'm sure Willie's got the good stuff.
Yeah.
I know Snoop does because we're in the elevator together.
Of course
that time at the
he does.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And
but,
man, that was some powerful stuff.
When you think of Willie, you think of Driftwood, Texas, and like you would think that he'd just be a.
He might be kind of old school.
Yeah, but I don't think he is anymore. I think he's gotten famous enough that he doesn't have to deal with that.
Willie Nelson is famous.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. My mom knows Willie Nelson. Your mom does, too, huh?
Oh, yeah. She took me to a Willie Nelson concert
Nick,
when I was like 8.
Would your mom know who Willie Nelson was if we showed her a picture? Oh, Nick's mom says no.
But Nick's like from Kazakhstan, right?
Yes. Yeah. Nick is the only Kazakh here in the room, unbelievably. He's the only Golovkin fan here, I guess. It's very strange, but he was the one on the plane. We said there was one on the plane.
Okay, so there you are.
One Kazakh was on the plane, and it was Nick Sharara. So I'm glad that he was able to make it. It would have been sad if it was a Canelo only fight.
Well, to get back to Stephen A. though.
Okay.
He and his show were at this table. When Nick and I got here, they told us, "Oh, you'll be right over there as soon as Stephen A. and those guys are gone." So they got up and left. And I have to say, I don't know if it was Stephen A. or the guys he was working with. They are a bunch of slobs and pigs. This table was full of trash and food, and there was a White Castle cup sitting right behind them that was still half full.
White Castle? Is there even White Castle in Vegas?
I don't know, but there was a White Castle cup. And I mean,
I used to eat White Castle when I would get high, like when I was young.
And basically what they did was they came, they ate their lunch here and drank their White Castle drinks and then just left all their crap on the table.
What a bunch of a-holes.
And so Nick and I had to clean it up. But you know the worst part?
The worst part is Stephen A. Smith spent 3 hours pretending like he watches boxing, talking about it, right?
Well, that's probably true.
Yeah, that's the worst part.
No, the worst part is that
Stephen A. Smith trying to convince me he knows about boxing.
I know we're just a little local show that's going to use the same table, but we're not bus boys.
You should have flipped the table over when you got here.
And just dumped it on the floor?
Yeah.
They might have kicked me out for
that. And then blame Stephen A.
But here's the thing. All this trash sitting on the table, You know what's sitting right here, right next to me? Can you recognize this?
That appears to be a garbage receptacle.
That is a trash can.
I was saying garbage receptacle because that's fancy, and this is the MGM Grand Ballroom.
That is true. But, I don't quite get how you just leave. Because whenever we're here, we always pick our crap up before
we leave. Of course, because we're gentlemen, and we're humans.
And even the 6'10 guys, for the most part, picked up their crap the last time
we
were here.
John Lopez picked up his stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't leave a mess. I thought I didn't like John Lopez. Turns out I only don't like him on the air. He seems like a pretty nice guy.
He is a nice guy. But just not that you care, Stephen A. and friends.
Stephen A. is not listening to our show.
No, of course he's not.
He's busy studying up on boxing for the show tomorrow.
You think?
No.
Oh, well. 713-780-ESPN if you want to text the show. We'll get to the Texans game tonight, which you're sighing heavily.
I wanted to throw something out there. I right before the show, I got some news, some kind of bad news about a guy who I worked with in Austin named Sean Adams, who was a good dude, really smart guy. Apparently passed away from a heart attack today. I've gotten it from several people now, so I'm going to go ahead and believe it. And he apparently did his show this morning. I follow him on all the social media. We're friends on Facebook and all that. And he was headed to the USC-Texas game tonight. So apparently a heart attack. I don't have too many details. But I just wanted to I don't even know what to say because that's not an old man.
He was in pretty good shape, too.
He was in very good shape. Yeah. I mean, he was an athlete. And I don't want to say he's a young man. You know, he's older than me, but he's younger than you. I mean, he ain't dying age.
Right.
So.
That sucks. So.
I don't know. I'm sure a lot of people probably know him, know of him. Keep his family in your thoughts. That bummed me out a little bit before the show.
That's too friggin' young, man.
Yeah. So, all right. Back to business. And business, Fred, is DraftKings. DraftKings.com. Week one is in the books. It's not too late. You missed out on that $1 billion chance. You could have won $1 billion if you put together the perfect lineup. You didn't do it. You failed. You failed at that. But DraftKings has given you another chance. Not at the billion. That's gone. Forget it. Gone money. But they're hosting a $100,000 pick'em contest, and it's totally free to enter. So, like, $1 billion would be really, really incredible. $100,000 is still really awesome, right?
I'd take that.
It's not a billion, but it's pretty good. Pick'em's the newest way to play one-week fantasy football, drafting your teams faster than ever. They've organized players into 8 tiers. You pick one player from each tier, and you're on your way. They've got beginner and casual contests where you play against people of a similar skill level, and you draft a new team every week with no commitment. So if you, for some reason, had the number one pick and you drafted David Johnson 2 weeks ago, and now he's dead, you don't have to have him on your team. You can have Le'Veon Bell this week. If you had David Johnson last week, you can have Le'Veon Bell this week. Can't do that in your season-long league. Doesn't work that way. Get to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code Houston to play in DraftKings' free contest with $100,000 in total prizes this Sunday. It's promo code Houston for your share of $100,000 in total prizes. The contest is totally free to enter. Why wouldn't you try it? DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Fantasy football, you've got to try my new favorite app, Draft. It's weekly fantasy football, but it's not like the other guys. Totally new twist on it. On Draft, you play real-life snake drafts with other people, just like in your season-long league. Here's how it works. It's a draft that lasts for 1 week, and there's no management. Just set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. Drafts start every couple minutes, so you can join one right now. And the best part, play for cold hard cash. Drafts start from as low as a dollar, so there's a draft for everyone. No salary caps, there's no player repetition. And that's the thing, if you like playing in some of these other ones and you get the same players as somebody else, that can be frustrating. That doesn't happen here. Come and join me on Draft today. Download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store. Join a game in minutes. Or play right from your computer on playdraft.com. Whatever you want. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use my promo code ESPN975. That's right. Play a real money game for free just using promo code ESPN975 on your first deposit on draft. Just search draft in the App Store or go to playdraft.com and come play free with promo code ESPN975.
Nobody pray for me. It been a day for me.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back. You know what I love when they bring us food from a place we already go to? Like Beer House. They bought us the Beer House brat. I have not had a chance to check it yet. But
I did.
Because I was about to put the wiener in my mouth, and then I had to do a live read.
You know me. I don't like hot dogs. I think hot dogs in general are gross, but that's pretty good. It doesn't taste like a, you know, it's not. It's like a real brat. It's not a cheap hot dog.
It's got IPA cheddarwurst, smoked bacon, and onion jam, and that's a Beer House, which if you haven't been to, great beer selections right over by T-Mobile Arena.
Right outside New York, New York.
Yeah, I think I've been there at least four times now.
I've been there a handful of times, and they've got a good selection of brews.
This is the first time I've tried their food, though, or I'm about to try their food.
Yeah, it's good. They do good food there.
So I'll give you a full report.
All right, thank you.
So what do you think of this game tonight?
I was thinking about this today. Do you believe that in Cincinnati – they're having the same kind of panic that we're having here in Houston about their team after week one? Do you think it's the same level?
I think it is, because Andy Dalton was horrible.
He was bad.
Now, a lot of that, the Ravens played really good defense. And I also would say the Jaguars played really good defense against the Texans. The offensive line for the Bengals was bad. If I were doing Cincinnati radio this week, I'd be extremely concerned about that offensive line against the Texans defense, even though the Texans defense didn't do well and is now going to be minus PED user Brian Cushing for the next 10 games. I think the meltdown's very similar, although I don't know if expectations for Cincinnati were very high this year after last season.
I don't know if they were either, and I does it feel like getting your ass kicked by the Ravens is better than getting your ass kicked by the Jaguars?
Well, at home, just the same as the Texans, they got blown out.
Yeah,
and the Ravens weren't very good last year, and I mean they weren't as bad as the Jags, but I think it's just as bad.
Here's the other reason why I'm a little less panicked if I'm Cincinnati, because I've got a quarterback who's got some sort of a track record. You know, it's not like we would expect him to go out and turn the ball over five times again, because that's not what Andy Dalton typically does.
No. But you know, you've also got a quarterback who missed a lot of time last year.
Yeah.
And
but who do you trust more, Andy Dalton or any Texans quarterback?
Andy Dalton right now, but you know, that was a pretty bad effort, and he, you know, basically, you know, last year he was not very good. The year before he was fantastic. And he basically I think had one of the better years of his career, 25 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. And last year, 18-8, not great.
But not bad.
But not bad. But that's getting
I mean, he threw four picks Sunday. I mean, that's half of what he did last season.
And I missed most 2 years ago that he missed three games. But he still threw for a lot of yards last year, but they just weren't as good, and I don't think he was as good. They took more chances with him. I don't think what he did last week is indicative of what you'll get out of Andy Dalton. I'd be less worried about him than anything on the Texans roster. But the reality is, it's week one. You have to overreact. And I'm sure there's a lot of the same conversations here. If the offensive line's that bad, he's going to throw picks.
Yeah.
Same thing that happened here. The offensive line plays that poorly, guys are going to turn the ball over. So, yeah, I kind of think the panic is the same.
Well, it's kind of
very similar. It's division wins at home against teams that weren't very good last year, and they got blown out, and were non-competitive.
Yeah. So that kind of maybe woke me up a little bit. Maybe, I don't know if we're overreacting or if we're reacting properly and just not realizing how bad things are in Cincinnati right now, too.
Yeah. But having said that, I still don't expect the Texans to be very competitive tonight.
I don't either. In retrospect, I wish I would have grabbed that number when it was 3.
Yeah, because it's not anywhere near that now.
No, it's getting closer to 7 now. And when we got here today, I always like to – I mean, I can bet online any day of the week.
Yeah.
But I like sometimes to have that ticket.
Yeah.
So I went over to the sports book and placed a little money line parlay on Cincinnati and Boise tonight. And not great value, not massive money either.
You just like betting in Vegas.
Yeah, just a little bit to you know, something to keep me interested.
To wet your beak, as it were.
Yeah. And I don't feel concerned that the Bengals aren't going to win. But I also wonder if there's anybody in Cincinnati, if there's any Cincinnati radio guys going, I can't see a way the Bengals win this game.
I don't know if they're saying that, but I bet you there's people that aren't going to be surprised if they don't win.
Yeah.
And I think expectations are pretty low. And it's funny, the poker table I was at today never fails. There was like 5 Canadians at the table. But
those were Kazakhs.
No, they were not Kazakhs. They were
Kazakhstan borders Canada.
No, that's Russia. Or someplace over
Isn't
there.
Isn't Canada kind of Russia?
No, it's north of us.
Canada touches Alaska, which touches Russia, right? The bridge?
Well, I think if you keep going north, like over the North Pole, you wind up in Russia.
Can you walk from Canada to Russia?
Only if you're a Yeti.
What if you have a fan boat?
I don't think you're going to get there. I think you're going to freeze and die. Or Santa Claus will rescue you.
What if you have a fan boat and a heavy coat?
It had to be a really heavy coat.
And one of those ski masks. And mittens.
Yeah, well, you need mittens.
Right.
Yeah.
It's hard to operate a fan boat.
Yeah, I'm going to go unless you're Santa Claus. No, you cannot make that trek.
Okay. Okay. Well, then I may stand corrected
but
about the geography of Kazakhstan.
Of course, everyone at the table is talking about the game tonight. And once they found out from Houston, I was from Houston, wanted to know my opinion.
You should have lied.
Yeah, to get the line back down.
Yeah.
That's what I should have done. Yep. Then all of them would have gone off and said, oh, geez, give me the Texans, E.
Yep.
I want thousands on the Texans. But I didn't do that. I told them the truth. It's like, I don't think this team's going to score many points. I think they'll score more with Deshaun Watson than they would with Tom Savage, but that might be 10 instead of 3. And I am not scared of the under 38.
Yeah.
So that's what our poker table's probably going to bet tonight. So. But the impression of the Texans from people outside is like, what a trash heap. But they had the same impression of the Bengals. But again, it's week one. I don't expect either team to be as bad as they were last week. But they were pretty far from their best. And I do think you're right. Do I trust A.J. Green more than anyone on the Texans offense, period? Yes.
Of course.
Do I trust Andy Dalton more than any Texans quarterback?
Of course.
You know, and even if half of what he was last week shows up, he may still win the game. And the question is, do I trust the Texans' defense to bounce back and harass that Cincinnati offensive line and disrupt Andy Dalton and cause problems? That's the question. If you're hanging your hat on the Texans pulling off an upset tonight, that's it.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest question. Defensively, are they going to be able to be what they're supposed to be? Because if they're not a great defense, then they're a five-win team. And they won 9 games by being a great defense with crappy quarterback play. They just tended to not turn the ball over a ton, and they forced some turnovers. It's the exact opposite last week. They come out and turn Cincinnati over 3 times and don't turn the ball over. I think it's unrealistic they wouldn't turn the ball over with Deshaun playing quarterback. I think 1 turnover for the Texans, 3 for the Bengals. Texans could win the game.
They're in it.
But they're not going to – but it's got to be something like that.
Well, I mean, the Texans can't give up 10 sacks, obviously. I don't think they can give up 5 sacks.
Well, and that's the flip side is, yeah, you can't – you don't want to be upside down on turnovers and sacks in a game. If you are, you have no chance, and that's what happened last week.
Because you're going to put – I mean, ideally you're not going to put Deshaun Watson in a lot of situations where he needs to make throws, you know, like third and long situations, like where it's an obvious throwing down. That's what you want to avoid. And they could not avoid that last week with either quarterback.
Yeah.
So – I mean, that's when they made it to third down before giving it to the other team. So you want to not give it to the other team and not get in third and longs. I just right now, I just don't trust that Texans offense to do that. I just feel like they're a mess.
Yeah, I agree. And we'll see. I mean, I have very low expectations.
And listen, I still think – I don't think like Lamar Miller is not a good football player anymore. But if you can't pass at all
– Well, if you can't pass and you can't block for him
– Lamar Miller is no good. I mean, he's not going to help you.
Yeah. I think they have to run the ball better, and I think they have to find a way to protect the quarterback. And then their defense has to show up. And all those for all those things to happen in 1 week, in 3 days?
It's not impossible.
It's not impossible.
But given what we saw last week.
And frankly, you know, what we've seen of this team under Bill O'Brien offensively, it's hard to have any
faith that that's going to happen.
Exactly.
Well, I'm with you on this. I think it's a bad situation. All right, guys, I got to tell you about Tri-Eagle Energy. And Tri-Eagle Energy, they know that you don't want to be shopping for electricity rates. It sucks. It's no fun. It's just a bad experience, for sure. Tri-Eagle's making it easy for you, though. Signing up is simple and fast. There's no hidden fees, no interruption in service. Take advantage of their new 12-month rate, and you lock it in at 8.1 cents when you use the promo code ESPN. Compare that offer to your last bill. If you're spending more than that, why not switch? Switch to a company that's helping you lower your energy costs. They're helping you use less energy altogether. That's the whole thing at Tri-Eagle Energy. It's not just about low rates, which they've got, but they're just trying to make your home a more energy-efficient home altogether. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TriEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN. PUCT license number 10064.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Las Vegas for the Canelo Alvarez Gennady Golovkin fight. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And for those of you whining about not answering your fantasy football questions, we're waiting for Christopher Harris at 4:30, as we do every week. And if you have fantasy football questions, not do I start this guy or that guy, he's got rankings for that. You just have to go to harrisfootball.com. But if you've got good questions that will apply to other people, not just your team, we'll pass them on. And one that right off the bat, are you buying stock in Galladay this week after his week one breakthrough? Let's start with him.
You know, I wouldn't say I'm rushing out to start Kenny Galladay, the rookie receiver for Detroit, but I think he's a pretty good waiver ad. I think he was my number two waiver ad of the week. I wouldn't spend like all of my free agent money on him. I don't think there was really anybody this week who I felt awesome about spending all my money on. But sure. I mean, I think what set Galladay apart for me compared to the other big receiver there, Marvin Jones, is the second touchdown catch. That's one heck of a catch. It's only one catch, but I'm not sure Marvin Jones can do it. It's a long one where, you know, they sort of trade off red zone touchdowns, and then Galladay makes a long play, catches the back half of the ball, basically lays out completely. That's the kind of thing, just sort of a natural ability that makes you take notice. It's probably too soon to start him this week against the Giants, but I'm intrigued.
Who was your number one ad, by the way? Was it Cohen?
Yes, Tariq Cohen, yeah. Again, I wouldn't break the bank for him, but I am, if I'm a Jordan Howard owner, I'm not happy. It was pretty legit. I actually did a fair amount of film review on him for today's podcast. It sort of went play by play again through it. And there are obvious limitations, such a little dude, 5'6", whatever he is, but this is just Darren Sproles written all over him. Really, the quickness is absolutely legit. When they got him to the outside, when they got him in space, I mean, the long run was essentially a pitch out to the left, where it's blocked and he just turns around and goes to the right all the way around the field. It's going to be really interesting to see how they follow it up against Tampa. I think they will follow it up. I think you're looking at 12 to 14 touches a game.
Hey, when we talked about this a little bit this morning on Twitter, talking about guys who, you've sort of downgraded after one game, guys, not injury guys, but other guys. And I mentioned a couple Texans and Jordan Howard. I mean, Jordan Howard, you drafted him with like a second round pick probably this year. I mean, has Jordan Howard done something to get into the doghouse there, or is that just a like Cohen just had a really good game and that's just, he's going to cut into his time now?
I think more the latter. I think mostly, though, I mean, and Jordan Howard went some grass in the first round, so, you know, I'll see your second round. I just have never really bought it with Jordan Howard. I think he's more valuable than Tariq Cohen. I think you keep running him out there. He just might be a little bit more RB2 than RB1. Just not someone who I ever thought was like a super special player. Kind of a one. He's got really good balance, and he's a big guy. He will run you over, but that's kind of it, right? He's not all that good of a pass catcher. He really doesn't laterally move at all. It's when he tries to turn, it's basically like bringing a ship around. Cohen's a really good compliment for what he doesn't do super well. And I should also just mention that Twitter conversation, like I just put out there, you know, I have a lot of Twitter followers, whatever. And I said, you know, I can't get people to pay attention on Twitter. I'll tweet, hey, I had a new show. You know, I'll get 5 retweets or something. If I say, hey, who are you disappointed by? I looked away. I came back. I had like 300 notifications. People sure do like to suffer in groups.
Well, we talked about the Texans and DeAndre Hopkins and Lamar Miller. Do you disagree with that? And I throw Frank Gore and T.Y. Hilton in sort of the same boat. It looks like all those guys play in offenses that are just so inept right now that I can't trust them nearly as high as I drafted them.
I'm not as worried about you. Maybe I'm just, you know, I'm 2,000 miles away. I'm just not as worried about the Texans. It wasn't good. I mean, I watched it too. I was super confident on this exact moment last week, thinking this is a easy cover, and that certainly didn't work out. I don't feel as though I've learned enough about the Texans to say it's over. You know, Watson is a little better, and I felt like they should have probably run with him to start the year, and the fact that they're willing to go to him so quickly means to me that it wasn't really like a personality reason to not start him week one. I just think it was a weird decision. You know, you want to talk dysfunctional, the team they're playing tonight, just as bad a loss, if not worse. So I'm not panicked. I mean, Hopkins got so much work, and Miller's just a professional running back. I'm still willing to hold out hope for those guys. I think T.Y. Hilton, yeah, it's lower, but you probably got to roll with him. Even in just the worst loss you're ever going to see, he still produced enough for fantasy to be a wide receiver, too. It's Gore is the one. Wow. I mean, there's no running game there. It doesn't feel like there's a hope of a running game there. I don't really believe it's Marlon Mack is the problem. I just think it's if something's going to go and you're going to be losing by 30 points, it's going to be the running game.
Speaking of the running game, and I'm sure you've gotten this a lot this week, with Johnson getting hurt in Arizona, are we looking at another running back situation like some of the ones we talked about last week where you just don't want to touch the guys? Or is there one guy there that you say, well, if you can get him, this will at least mitigate it a little bit?
I don't think there's anyone. I mean, I'm sure they're going to try Kerwin Williams first. You guys probably remember that Hall of Fame game against the Cowboys where literally no one's in there, but we're all just so starved for football that when Kerwin Williams scores a touchdown, my Twitter feed is like, oh, my God, is he a threat to David Johnson? You know, he's just another guy. He's a 5'10", you know, like he's fine. He's a professional running back. He's a great athlete for humanity, but he's not anything special in the NFL. And then Chris Johnson's going to be 32 in a week. And Andre Ellington, I loved Andre Ellington when he came out of school, but he's had so many leg injuries. It makes me think, man, I mean, Ryan Matthews' neck must not be very good, because Ryan Matthews would be the only street free agent right now where I'd go, I mean, I've seen him be really good when he was healthy within the past calendar year. So, I don't think there's a great solution. I think Kerwin Williams is the ad, but I wouldn't stretch for him because I just think in the end it's not going to work out.
You know, Buck Allen was a guy who played well last week. I've been waiting for him to be the starting running back of the Ravens for a while, and I know early on he had some fumble issues and just was kind of in the doghouse, but I think he's a pretty talented back. I don't know what you think, what the situation is going to look like in Baltimore now, but do you think that guy could actually have some value?
Sure, but I think it's very clearly not as a standalone running back, though. You know, Terrence West is kind of just another guy also, a big dude who has likely the more valuable role. Allen, for as long as Denny Woodhead is out, and Woodhead went on injured reserve, so it seems like it's going to be a while, should catch some passes. It's interesting. You don't look at Buck Allen play, and you would never think this kid is 220 pounds. He just plays little. He doesn't run with power on the interior. He's always looking to sort of make the next cut, but he doesn't have great lateral quickness. And as a receiver, I think we're making a mistake when we call him like Matt Forte 2.0. You know, he's good. He doesn't drop the ball and has okay body control, but you're not running a lot of really elaborate routes for Buck Allen. I wanted to believe maybe 2 years ago I was with you, and in the interim, I feel like I've seen enough to go probably it ends in tears. Again, another one I could add, I don't view him as, you know, they activated Jeremy Langford. I actually think if I'm going to choose between Jeremy Langford and Buck Allen, if Langford's healthy, I probably take Langford. I don't like any of them, but I wouldn't be surprised if we go through a series of them in Baltimore.
All right.
What do you do with Odell Beckham? Obviously, he sat out last week. He's making it sound like this injury is going to last for a while. I know you have him third in your rankings this week, but at some point, do you have to start downgrading him until you're sure he's healthy?
Yeah, I really will. I mean, that's like an aspirational rank, right, where you go, well, if I had some confirmation that he was going to play Monday night, it would just be so much easier if the stupid Giants wouldn't play in primetime because that kills you. It's a Monday night game. I think, yeah, as of Sunday morning, Beckham owners are going to have a decision to make. How much do you want to potentially roll with it? Can you acquire Sterling Shepard, you know, just as an insurance in case he's inactive again? Can you get, I don't know, Kenny Golladay, the player we started off with, maybe, and just take a flyer on him if Beckham is, you know, you have to have some alternative in the chamber just in case. It's funny, though. I mean, I still am so pro Beckham. I think in the long course of a 4-month season, he's going to come back and be awesome, just like he was last year, started slow. So if I'm going to talk about him as a fantasy option, I almost view him as like, hopefully he doesn't play this week, and then I can get the Beckham owner to sell him to me for like pennies on the dollar.
And we always talk about the Patriots running backs and the game Gillislee had. Is that one where you just say, well, okay, next week it's going to be somebody else?
Well, except for I think the third preseason game really started keying me into what they wanted to do with Gillislee, and then the three penalties in the end zone that gave him the ball on the 1 yard line, and they went right to him. Just feels like, yeah, he is first among equals. He's a better player than LeGarrette Blount. There's no question in my mind he's more dynamic player. He's not a dynamic player, but doesn't take a lot to be more dynamic than LeGarrette Blount. Gillislee deserves to be viewed fantasy-wise as above the rest of them, but I have no guarantee that they're going to commit penalties in the end zone, and 15 carries for 45 yards doesn't move the needle. I think, you know, I'm probably a long way away from considering Gillislee anything close to an RB1. He's probably like a low-level RB2 or a better use as a flex, but that's where I would leave him, and relatively speaking, I need to see somebody else do something. James White starts that game, but he's just not inspirational to me between the tackles. So I think it's going to wind up being Gillislee, and then I don't love much else.
I'm curious. I haven't seen your rankings, but where do you have Tyreek Hill this week? Because I was thinking, I don't own him in any of my season-long leagues, but I'm running him out there in every weekly fantasy league I've got because the Eagles have just, in the last several years, given up so many big plays, and Alex Smith looks willing to go downfield with that guy. What do you think of him this week?
Well, I just like him. I mean, you know, on the podcast I do, like, I pick players, try to plant my flag in 10 players, and Tyreek Hill was maybe the number one receiver on that list. I have number 12 among receivers this week, just a no-brainer, a borderline wide receiver one. I'm not sure. I think he proved everything he needs to prove against the Patriots. You know, he definitely made plays, but, I mean, the long touchdown, which makes the week, that's he's wide open. It's a completely blown coverage. What we want to see out of Tyreek Hill is, can you run a route where you get open at all three levels of the defense? Is it all just running down the field or catching a wide receiver screen? Because that doesn't travel well. You know, that leads to a Brandon Cook season. That leads to awesome peaks but scary valley. We want the guy who can also get open on a 7-yard out and run a 11-yard cross and basically be in sync with a quarterback. Haven't seen it yet. I do think we'll see it, though. I'm very, very pro Tyreek Hill.
I got one more game to ask you about. The Monday night game with Minnesota and New Orleans. Minnesota, probably not a team that a lot of people expected a lot of out from their players in fantasy. And New Orleans, a team that people always expect big numbers out of. We got kind of the opposite. Do you think that's a a 1 week sample, or do you think maybe the Saints aren't as good as we thought, and maybe the Vikings are a little more explosive offensively than we thought?
Probably neither. I think it was a function of the defenses that they were facing. The Saints, again, are just playing so many young players on defense, and a lot of them just proved that they can't play. You know, Sam Bradford just stood there all night. I love how Sam Bradford's undergone this career renaissance, because he's pretty good when people don't sack him or get, you know, put pressure on him. He's just horrendous when people are in his face or when someone's mixing up defenses and confusing him. And he's, against the Steelers, it's exactly the kind of matchup that he's going to take a step back. I've seen it again and again. He's just going to get blitz after blitz. He's not going to know where it's coming from. They're going to drop into weird zones, and he's going to throw it into some linebacker's face. It's what he does. For me, Bradford is the constraining factor there, and the offensive line proves very little by being able to hold to the Saints. And then vice versa, I think the Viking defense is really good, has been for a couple of years, wore down at the end of last year, but remember, to start the year last year, it was the best defense in the NFL for a month and a half, and I think that's what was the constraining factor for the Saints. The Patriots, not exactly a great defense that last Thursday game. I'm going to go ahead and say it was, you know, maybe the worst Belichick defensive performance, not even talking about stats. I mean, you guys know what GTFB is. Get the bleep back, right? And that's what the Patriots always do. Even if they're going to bend, they don't break. There's always someone deeper than the deepest. And several times, just like, whoops, there he is running down. That is not a Patriot defense. I think the Saints could light them up.
All right.
All right, yeah, I'm kind of on the over on that game. Christopher, tell people about Harris Football, about the podcast. Let them know what all you got going on.
Yeah, I'm knee deep in it now. It's a 6 day a week podcast because we do five fantasy shows on the 5 weekdays of a week, and then Wednesday afternoons we also do the Harris Football After Party, which is more an NFL preview show, and we make picks against the spread, and it's pretty fun. So yeah, if anybody wants to hear me blather on more about football, go to harrisfootball.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at harrisfootball.
Chris, are you married?
I'm not.
Oh, good for you. I was going to say, no wife is going to let their husband work 6 days a week. Good for you.
Well, I have
understanding
females in my life.
There you go. That's Christopher Harris. Appreciate you, man. I'll see you on those Twitter streets, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. If you want to put Christopher's advice to good use, DraftKings, a great place to do it. Week one's in the books. It's not too late to get closer to the game you love than with DraftKings 1 Week Fantasy Football. This Sunday, DraftKings is hosting a $100,000 pick'em contest. It's totally free to enter, and it's the newest way to play 1 Week Fantasy. You draft your team faster than ever. They've organized their players into 8 tiers. All you got to do is select one player from each tier, and you're on your way. Choose between public contests with big cash prizes or private contests where you compete against a group of your buddies. They've got beginner and casual contests, so you're always playing against people on your level. And the best part is you're drafting a new team every week. Get to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code Houston to play in DraftKings' free contest with $100,000 in total prizes this Sunday. That's promo code Houston to compete for your share of $100,000 in total prizes. Contest is totally free to enter. Why wouldn't you try it? DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
I don't know. I decided we weren't going to speak, so why we up 3 a.m. on the phone? Why don't she be so mad at me, for? Homie, I don't know. She's hot and cold. I won't stop, won't mess my groove up, because I already know how this thing.
Happy birthday, ESPN 97.5. We're 10. If you thought we were degenerates before, wait until we hit puberty.
Hold on to your butts.
I was going to tell you about the Kima Craft Beer Fest coming up Saturday, September 23rd. Kima Boardwalk and 24 breweries invite you to spend the day sampling over 72 of the best craft beers. They're coming from all over the place. Austin East Ciders, if you're into cider, they've got Avery, Back Pew, Ballast Point, Bell's, Brooklyn, Galveston Island, Carbach, New Belgium, Odell, St. Arnold, Southern Star, Texas Beer Refinery, so many more. I don't have time to name them all here. There's a ton of breweries out here, and they're going to be sampling their wares. You can buy tickets in advance now for only $44.95 a person, only $39.95 a person if you're a Landry Select Club member or you have a military ID, and it's $49.95 the day of the event, so it's worth it to get in early. Admission includes beer samples, giveaway from the beer vendors, and food samples, and there's going to be live music all day. Spasmatics from 2 to 6, midnight release from 6 to 10. You can purchase your tickets online at KemaBeerFest.com or on-site at multiple ticket booths on the Kema Boardwalk. All guests must present a valid ID at the time of purchase. And, of course, those guests must be 21 years of age to enter. It's the Kima Craft Beer Fest, Saturday, September 23rd from 2 to 5 p.m. On the Kima Boardwalk. For more info, KimaBeerFest.com. Break.
And we're back. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go, or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. So who is that everyone was interviewing over there? I couldn't tell. It was basically a press conference.
Oh, I missed it. Yeah. The gangbang, I missed it.
Yeah.
The media gangbang.
I mean, there were probably 100 people surrounding whoever that was.
Speaking of gangbang, what do you think of Deshaun Watson hanging out with Mia Khalifa? Want your rookie quarterback hanging out with porno chicks already?
Former porno chick.
A retired porno chick?
She no longer does porn.
Okay. So what's she do now? What's her job title?
She's trying to become some kind of sports chick, I think.
Ugh.
Maybe she'll be doing play-by-play next year.
Great.
During an NFL game.
Great.
I don't know what it is she's doing, but he's one of the few guys she hasn't ripped for going into her DMs.
Okay, well, that's good.
So, I mean,
he got in her apartment, or she got in his. I don't know.
I'm guessing he probably took that into the end zone. Then
You think that was to the house? Huh?
I think he scrambled. Yep,
scrambled, went deep.
Yes,
deep.
But
Dude.
I'm not a fan of hers. Not, I mean,
on screen or off screen?
Well, I mean, she's my flavor,
right?
But
she's got a little. She's a little ethnic.
Yeah, yeah. And I like that.
A little exotic. You
little
like
bit.
That?
Yeah, but just the way she rips into these people and embarrasses them.
Yeah, you don't like that.
I'm not a fan of that.
Because if you tried to slide into her DMs, you wouldn't want to be called out.
Exactly, which I would not do.
Unless she followed you.
But even if she did. I would not.
You would leave it alone.
Because I see what she's done. I'm not a dumb man, AJ.
Well, the good thing is she at least let you know. So if she does start following you, at least, like,
yeah,
now you know.
Yeah, if she starts following me and then DMs me and says, hey, DM me, I'm not going to DM her.
I would just call her out for trying to slide in my DMs.
Yeah, I'd probably do that. Probably do
Bitch,
that.
Please is what I would say. I wouldn't say that. That'd be rude. But I would say, listen, I'm a married man. Why are you behaving in this manner? That's what I would say.
It's like, and I've.
It's inappropriate.
Frankly, I've seen all there is to see of you, and.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really need the real thing.
Yeah. But Deshaun Watson, he may want that real thing.
Well, very strange, though, that such a.
If Deshaun Watson's already hooking up with a porn star, is he the anti JJ Watt already? Are we already, like, is that official?
Oh, no. She's retired. She's changed, AJ.
Oh,
okay. She's a different person.
It would be different if he was dating an active porn chick.
Yeah, it might be a little different. No, it's not going to be any different. Okay. Come on. Hey, whatever you're into, man. Maybe he's a big fan, and they just hit it off.
Okay.
And maybe he wanted to try something he saw when she was doing, whatever it was she was doing. 713-780-ESPN is your number. God's Green wants to know, would you draft Glenn Davis into your gangbang roster?
No. I don't know why I tell anyone anything.
I know. It's.
I'm trying to be appropriate.
Yeah, but it never works.
No one. I'm just trying to get. Then I try to share my feelings, my deepest fears and thoughts, and everybody makes fun of me. I don't need that. I don't need that for being open and honest with you guys.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Jung, we need to hit a break so we can talk to Jay Rude. Is that all right? All right, I'm going to tell you about Dirt Free Carpet Cleaning while he walks on over here. But Dirt Free Carpet Cleaning, listen, it's football season. You're going to have your boys over barbecuing, watching the game. You don't want to be embarrassed by a dirty floor. It's gross. It's a great time to get your carpets and tile floors clean with Dirt Free Carpet Clean. Get the fall special for a limited time. Dirt Free will clean one room free, give you a free speed dry with any purchase over $120. Free room can be carpet or tile, doesn't matter. The other guys are leaving behind too much water, soapy residue, unhealthy chemicals that trap dirt and allergens. Not Dirt Free. Go toxic chemical free with Dirt Free. They've been doing this for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, even your air ducts. Give them a call right now, 281-DIRT-FREE. Tell them you heard it here on ESPN 97.5, and they'll clean one room free with any purchase and throw in a free speed dry. It's 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free Carpet.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.